Hello and welcome to the Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're touching down here in London and reporting from the UBS European Conference, this landmark event for the bank and for so many friends, investors, policymakers and opinion leaders, covers a huge range of topics and themes. We'll be looking in detail at the notion of quantitative easing to quantitative tightening, asking is it for real and principally, what does it mean for asset classes? Voices from within and without UBS, including key figures from the monetary policy firmament, as well as some of those UBS opinion leaders, will share some fascinating insights and analysis. Let's start with some highlights from the opening remarks and first public session, featuring an introduction from Axel Weber, chairman of the board of directors of UBS Group. Axel discussed two trends for the next couple of years to tap into and to bear in mind.
Many of the underlying reasons for what we've seen in European elections is growing dissatisfaction. And many of these reasons are structural: a permanent decline in growth rates and economic prospects, job insecurity, stagnation or even declining real wages, and above all, growing inequality and a growing sense of unfairness. The current economic upswing diffuses some of this situation. However, the upswing is cyclical, and whilst it may help to give us a better place for some time, clearly it doesn't solve some or many of the structural reasons that underlie some of the difficulties in our economy. On top of the political and geopolitical uncertainties, there is another major uncertainty, and it is a reason why I'm very happy to have our panelists here, and that is there is questions about the course of monetary policy going forward. QE and very loose monetary policy, unorthodox monetary policy, has been one of the drivers of markets over the last couple of years. Every time when we were here, the cause of monetary policy played an important role, and it still does.
So let's hear from some of that panel that Weber mentioned just there from the first session on monetary policy, charting QE to QT. Then some takeaways from UBS opinion leaders on what to expect in monetary policy terms. Charles Evans, President and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago since 2007, also serves on the FOMC, the Fed Reserve's monetary policymaking body. He was at pains to remind that these are his views and not necessarily those of colleagues in the FOMC or across the Fed system.
Real activity in the U.S. is solid, but inflation is and has been for quite some time too low. I'm concerned that persistent factors are holding down inflation rather than idiosyncratic transitory ones. Namely, the public's inflation expectations appear to me to have drifted down below the FOMC's 2% symmetric inflation target. In order to dispel any impression that 2% is a ceiling, our communications should be much clearer about our willingness to deliver on a symmetric inflation outcome, acknowledging a greater chance of inflation at 2.5% in the future than what has been communicated in the past. Such communications would shore up our credibility and demonstrate our commitment. They would also increase policymakers' ability to attain their goals in normal times and to strengthen the policy framework to deal with future challenges presented by some unexpected economic and financial developments in the future. So the real economy in the U.S. is on a solid footing, and I expect this momentum to carry forward into 2018. Many private sector forecasts see annualized gross domestic product growth in the fourth quarter of 2017 in the range of 2.5% to 3%. If realized, this would put the increase in output for the year as a whole at about 2.5%. This is noticeably above the 1.5% to 1.75% pace we at the Chicago Fed see as the current underlying trend or potential growth rate of the economy. For some time now, activity in the U.S. has been led by solid gains in consumer spending, and more recently, growth in business capital spending has picked back up as well. With healthy labor markets and much improved household and business balance sheets, the fundamentals for continued solid growth in 2018 look pretty good.
Charles Evans. We've seen inflation in asset prices, corporate bonds and so on, so should central bankers worry more about these issues than they do? Charles Evans expands on the theme.
It's clearly the case that asset valuations have risen quite strongly. They've risen for, you know, quite a period of time, but especially since the election. I think that since the election, there's been a change in expectations for the administration's policy, more business-friendly regulation, tax reform, tax cuts, and so that's naturally going to anchor asset valuations at a higher level. So, I mean, that's not really a monetary policy kind of issue, financial stability. Now, I mean, we have been running lower interest rates. Part of it is monetary policy, but part of it is the world environment. Lower real interest rates around the world, lower R-star equilibrium real interest rates, and that's naturally going to lead to a lift in asset values. That, again, is the real side of the economy, and monetary policy itself can't fight that explicitly. Now, I think it's very important that the regulatory financial stability authorities be mindful of the risks that the economy might be facing. And so I think that's why, you know, having a strong regulatory environment is very important. I think after Dodd-Frank, we're in a much better situation in the U.S. There's more and better capital in all of the banks, and, you know, it's an international phenomenon. I worry that if monetary policy is called upon to address financial issues, then in the current environment, that would be a more restrictive policy. We are underrunning our inflation objective. That type of policy decision would be to affirmatively reduce our inflation outcome against our policy mandate. I think that that's inappropriate given the way the Federal Reserve Act is written. And there are other regulatory authorities who can address this, and they are risk management issues. And so I think that's the appropriate place for them to be addressed.
Charles Evans. Now, the next session was the UBS Opinion Leaders Panel, again moderated by Axel Weber and featuring, amongst others, some of our regular analysts and contributors to this programme from across the bank. Let's hear first from Yanis Kontopoulos, Global Head of Macro Strategy in the UBS Investment Bank, for his insights here. Here's Axel first.
A long period of withdrawal with deliberate behind the curve. How does it affect prices in the markets? Let's talk about, because I don't think you can easily make a distinction between them, bond markets and equity market valuations. There is concerns that bond markets look stretched, that there is a bubble in bond markets. There is a concern that equity prices are stretched and could correct. So how do you map that picture into what you see in markets on the bond side and on the equity side?
What Arend described is a pretty benign view at the end of the day, in the sense of a continuation of a scenario that global growth will stay at a relatively healthy levels, and also importantly, inflation will gently rise on the core side, but gently is where I would put the emphasis in. And this is where we get some flexibility from the perspective of central bankers and policymakers. There's always a possibility they may commit a mistake, but if it's man-made, they can take it back as long as inflation gives them flexibility. And I think that's the conditions that we're operating in. Now, in terms of how does this map into assets, I think that's probably the pivotal question for 2018. Have we seen the maximum upside? Is this the best that we'll encounter? And then it's important to start thinking a little bit about valuation. And on the bond side, I think that's we should start from the bond market. And the long end is, I think, by pretty much all means by now, well anchored. Whether it is central bankers and the Fed in particular thinking about long-term equilibrium real rates in the U.S., whether it's our modeling or whether it's what the market long-term expectations, they're all pretty much focused somewhere between 2.2 to 2.8% in the U.S., starting with that. Let's call it among friends 2.5. So that is an area, again, with the type of growth and inflation that we're describing, that's going to stay well anchored. So given what Aaron described, most of the action now happens on the short end of the curve. That's where we might need to rush a bit more. That's where the optimal control type of approach might tell you the Fed is a little bit behind the curve. But they have flexibility. If indeed the data confirms the scenario that Arendt has put forward globally, we're probably going to get there a bit faster, and the market has the ability to absorb this. And importantly, maybe to the point that you alluded before, what that means is that the yield curve in the U.S. will flatten, which actually means that the dollar will not get a sufficient boost out of that type of adjustment, whether it's coming from the balance sheet or whether it's coming from rates. So the bond market is, I would say, within equilibrium. Now, how we get there is also important because we want to have, again, this policy gradualism and term premia to remain relatively stable in that process, and that's a function of inflation. So if we don't have a sustainable shock in inflation in 2018. That, I think, gives us a bit more visibility for 2018.
Let's hear next from Mark Haefeli, Global Chief Investment Officer in UBS Wealth Management. Again, Axel Weber is putting the questions.
You just recently had an investment committee meeting. How do you look at equity, starting with that asset class? How do you look at equity in the US versus equity in Europe or in the rest of the world? Clearly, valuations play a role, but also underlying dynamics and where the cycle stands.
The way we've primarily been playing equity since the second half of the year is kind of risk on, risk off. And we're risk on with an allocation to global equities. And obviously, the US makes up about 50% of that index. But we don't want to be overweight the U.S. at this time because U.S. valuations, they're not super expensive, but they're a little bit above kind of their 20-year average. And we've also got an overweight in European equities versus an underweight in U.K. equities. We heard about some of the problems with the U.K. economy, but also, as you suggested, the pound, we feel, adjusted at the start of this issue, and now it's kind of probably stable here, and the base effects of the weaker pound have worked through, so we don't think that there's going to be a lot of extra oomph on the UK equity side.
Mark Haefeli. Finally on the programme, let's hear from Simon Smiles, Chief Investment Officer for Ultra High Net Worth in UBS Wealth Management and a regular on this programme. Axel asked Simon to explain how this client segment look at their investment portfolios in terms of what could be a key inflection point for monetary policy.
I think three key trends or areas of interest, probably quite similar to many of you in the room, Europe, IT, and broader sustainable investing. And the sustainable investing is probably the biggest delta we've seen over the last couple of years. And when we survey our female clients, 88% of them are telling us that they want to align their portfolios with sustainable and social issues. 69% of our younger clients are telling us this. Even 28% of our family office clients are looking more at sustainable investing. And I think each of those three areas, though, dovetails quite well with what we heard on the last panel. When you look at Europe, you know, all indicators are flashing green. 17 quarters of positive growth and a still very accommodative central bank. No wonder, again, we'd expect, like many of you in the room, our clients are definitely looking to increase their investments in Europe. We talked about digitalization. There's a lot of talk about structural disinflationary tendencies on the last panel. Well, our clients, again, I imagine, like many of you in the room, are looking to take the other side of that trade, and a lot of interest in the tech space. And then when it comes to sustainability, the chairman, I think, presented the introduction very well. While at the moment conditions look benign, the underlying drivers of the recent rise in populism and the discontent are still there, growing income inequality. So again, within that framework, a greater focus on sustainability makes sense. However, I think where we see differences between our clients and perhaps the institutional positioning that many in the room have is how they're implementing those general positions. When it comes to Europe, there is a general interest at the moment in increasing allocation to Eurozone equities. But in addition to that, the clients who run large private businesses, who we survey every month as part of our industry leaders network, 100 of the largest private entrepreneurs in the world, a very big shift just over the last couple of months in terms of their own intentions with respect to business investment. Maybe coming back to the earlier point, and in fact, this month, a clear preference for deploying additional capital in their own businesses directly into Europe for the first time, preferring that over the United States. When it comes to IT, implementing with respect to direct investments in unicorns or hopefully soon to unicorns, big area of interest, the direct investment space. And also when it comes to listed equities, rather than outright longs in the listed space, a greater interest in structured products. So willingness to effectively, if worst happen, buy into the stocks 20-30% down if the barriers are hit, and in the interim to earn a yield rather than outright long exposure at these levels. And then when it comes to sustainable investing, I think the big delta perhaps between the focuses of many of your firms and what our clients actually want, they're looking at it in a portfolio context. So rather than the preponderance of strategies being exclusion-based, sustainable investing, equity strategies, or highly rated companies in an equity strategy, what our clients are actually asking for is a sustainable portfolio approach. So everything in the portfolio being sustainable, both the fixed income allocations as well as the equity allocations.
And that's Simon Smiles, bringing us to the end of this 164th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Next week, corporate health in the spotlight. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred platform. And you can find more from UBS at ubs.com. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.